Don't touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be. Yes, you have landed in Juicebox Radio, definitely on CITR 101.9 FM with Julia Saunders, myself, and Caroline McGilvray, your fabulous hosts. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss one of our shows, you can always download a podcast from juiceboxradio.com. So tonight, my sweet Caroline has done up a lovely show for us here. She thought she'd surprise me since I'm a little bit stressed about all the things that are going on.
Julia has a lot of really wonderful things going on right now, and I'm sure you listeners have heard us say over and over again, we need a camera in here. Don't you think so, Julia? So they can actually see what we do, not just hear it.
Yep.
So they can actually kind of get those senses going, mm-hmm. You know? They can maybe taste us. They can definitely see us.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps feel us.
Maybe, if they imagined well.
Oh, I think they like it very, very much. And they could actually see us if they're watching the podcast on the website. You know, the internet thing works quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'd like to actually see a 3D version of Ms. Julia Saunders, you should check out the Juicebox Girls in person. So you should check out the Juicebox Salon, and that's Saturday, March 15th. And this is your opportunity to see the lovely, the wonderful, the spectacular. Need I keep going on? Shall I keep going on?
No.
No? The lovely. Lovely Juicebox founder, Julia Saunders, in person. And tonight's show is focusing on Sex Education 101 and also parts of the Juicebox Salon.
Mm.
And tonight, our special guest is actually our host and a creative Juicebox Radio herself, Ms. Julia Saunders.
Thank you.
Welcome, Julia.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, tonight we're going to be doing some sort of tidbits of info on what the salons have been about, the one that was last year and this year.
And we'll be taking calls, and you'll get a taste of how entertaining and educational it's going to be. So if you want to give us a call and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having, you can give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. First of all, I think everybody should be writing in right now and sending Julia lots of flowers, candy, maybe not candy, but lots of wonderful, wonderful presents because, A, not only because it's good to bring people flowers on the day of their show, but also she's got something else she's, I think you might want to tell us about, or would you like me to do the honors? Because I think you've got...
What are you talking about?
Well, didn't you just have to redo your business cards? I thought you were having to pick some up, and I don't think it was just because of the salon, even though you're going to be, like, handing those out like candy, but I kind of thought it was because you had a few more letters that you need to add behind your name.
Yeah, well, I did officially get an email from the Alumni Association saying, congratulations, you are now an alumni of UBC again. So that's kind of an official, finished my master's, which is a humongous accomplishment.
It's a wonderful accomplishment. It's great.
Thank you. It was a lot of work. And now I have all the more letters after my name. Yay. But what's really great about that is that, not only have I had a lot of experience with just living life, and a lot of people are very self-taught and incredibly well-educated from a self-learning kind of perspective, which a lot of tantric educators are, or a lot of our guests that we have on our show actually have a lot of education self-taught, which I respect tremendously. And we often have psychologists or sexologists at the odd time, or doctors. But I'm kind of in the realm now of the psychologists and doctors, because I have that number of just whatever, the respected quote-unquote at university. So it is handy for credentializing me, which I've worked very hard for and I've paid a lot of money into. So take advantage, come to the salons, listen to Juicebox Radio, and pick my brain.
So on that note, why don't you tell us what the difference between a salon and a regular cabaret is? Because I missed the first salon, and I didn't really know what a salon was until you explained it to me the other day. So can you tell our listeners what exactly is a salon?
Well, I think a salon comes from, the 1800s in France, the bourgeoisie that were kind of lazy and bored.
I just want you to smile and get your energy up, because you're wonderful, darling.
All right. And so they were kind of bored around being rich and whatever, and they didn't know what to do with themselves half the time. But of course they were very educated, or the most educated population. So they kind of just ended up having these evenings of entertainment where one of them, a composer friend would bring along this, or somebody would, bring along a piece of music they just composed or had written or was playing, or, somebody would have some poetry or a piece of a book, or a book that somebody just wrote, and art that they had done. And so they would just come to these things, these salons, and they would talk about society's issues and what was going on with just different things in the world around them in the day. And so they were called salons, and they were kind of these, educational, inspirational collections of people sharing under one roof, usually with an inspiring kind of host or hostess leading the evening. So that's the sort of traditional idea of a salon. And what is
the modern day, the Julia version?
Well, what I've created with Juicebox Salon, over a year ago now, is just the idea of doing sex ed, but in a kind of fun way that would intersperse with some really fabulous performance art, and sort of giving Vancouver, an amazing amount of Vancouver artists are so incredible, these artists, these performance artists, giving them a chance to showcase their talents in ways and in realms where they normally wouldn't be able to, or weren't, highlighted or whatever, because, they're sort of just up and coming in their work. And so I run in circles of some incredibly talented people. And that's one of the reasons why I can probably have another salon in September and another one in the following March. And I could probably have more than at least two or three a year, because I have so many people in my life that are incredible performance artists and talent, dancers and that kind of thing. So I wanted to give them a chance to showcase their talent, and then give people a chance to learn a little bit about sex and think about sex and how to change their lives in sexual ways, relational ways, that kind of reaches outside of the radio show. And like you said earlier at the beginning, giving people a chance to actually see me and you, hopefully someday as well, out there doing sex ed, being our fabulous, entertaining selves. I mean, you and I have emceed a few things, and we do a really good job at that too. So maybe the next salon will have you on there as well.
That might be
side
really
by
wonderful.
Side. It might be really fun. So, it's just kind of, that's where it came from. And I had friends at parties always asking me questions about sex toys, or they'd be asking me, different things. I'd be always getting my brain picked, whether I was at Rec Beach or wherever I was. People are always asking me a lot of questions. And I thought, well, there's a lot of sex ed that needs, or people want. And there's workshops, but a lot of the more highly credentialed people aren't doing these workshops. They kind of are doing higher, professional gigs, doing whatever, or they're psychologists or whatever. So I just thought, I'm going to go out there and just sort of share what I can and make it more fun and interesting than just like sitting there in a workshop and So there is some workshop aspects to my salons.
Okay.
And so that people do get hands-on opportunities to work with things and to
hands-on.
And they get to practice stuff. You know, there's tantric sort of exercises they can do. I have a lengthy intermission. There's lots of really cool stuff that I do. So it's not just an evening of entertainment where you sit there and you get like, wow, there's circus acts. And wow, how cool. Look at that flamenco dancer. It's like, you know, there's lots of sort of meat and bones. And then there's like...
And there's the wonderful dessert as well. So there's a wonderful richness. Would I be saying that correctly?
Yeah.
I think it's cool. You've pulled, in other words, some education. You've got the best of high and lowbrow talent kind of all mixed together in this wonderful fusion of this great production in town. Got
Last year we had, you know, Little Wu, who was fabulous. And
this year, Jenny Magenta and the absolutely sensational Crystal Precious. And Daniel Packard's coming back as well, isn't he?
Among the many, yes. And I did ask Daniel to call in tonight. He may. He may not have gotten my message in time, but...
That's okay. We'll have more of you, and more of you is always a lovely thing. So I think all our listeners can agree with that, which is one of the reasons they tune in every week.
Thank you, honey.
But I think it's, you're welcome. I think it's really wonderful how you've knitted the entertainment together with sex ed. So what made you choose this as a vessel to entertain and educate the general public about sex ed? Like, what made you choose a salon? Like, I know you've mentioned in terms of bringing people together by giving them another showcase.
Like I said,
you've got a mix of people who are established, like people like Crystal Precious, Wu, for example, maybe not this time, but she's performed before.
And I have lots of other talent that I could use that are quite well established as well. I think it's because, again, you know, sex ed, like, I'm not a stand-up comic, and I'm not I'm an educator, right? Like, I go and teach kids and parents and professionals out in the world about how to have sexual conversations, be approachable as teachers, you know, and in the schools, just sex ed in general, right, for teens. And so I do a different approach. I do a communication-based approach sex ed, and it works really well. And you know, my clients have asked me back, and, you know, I haven't had a single client that hasn't been quite happy with my work. And I do all that, and that's really, the bones of my work. But I wanted to do something different than what is out there for these workshops, these typical, like, blowjob workshops you go to, or just the tantric practice workshops, which are very experiential. I wanted something a little more lecture-based, because we don't get opportunity to have these sort of sex ed lectures unless you're in university.
And you have Sue Johansson come in.
In university classes where you can be educated about sex in a way from an expert.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because people, I can't really hear your virtues of your
voice. Why do you think that is?
I just don't think that there's really much cause for it. It's kind of, Sorry, I'm just going to keep talking. I can't hear myself anymore. I just don't think that there's a real need or interest in it. Not interest, of course, but we're all like, we can't get the engineering right. And then we get
the engineering
so
was actually
hard.
Quite entertaining, because you may not be able to hear anything under your headphones. I'm hearing triple, which is why there was that shutter when I put my headphones on. Sorry to distract you. I really wish.
People just don't. I think that you can read a book. There's lots of, you know, great published books out there from different sexologists and researchers that come and write books. But they're pretty much the most boring lecturers you could probably ever have. You know, like, I've had some good lecturers in school before, but you know, they're not doing nights of entertainment. So I just think that I'm feeling a need of like learning about the social construction of sexuality. But making it in a fun, entertaining way, getting people really thinking about how they think about sexuality and how they think and talk about it in their world, you know, and how to change that and why what we're doing isn't working and stuff like that, you know, and just sort of, but doing that in a fun way where you can see these amazing performances and then do this really cool stuff in the intermission, things that you normally would never see in anything I've ever seen.
Of course, now you're intriguing me, and I want to know, give me an example of stuff that you did last time at the intermission. I'm not asking you to give away anything from this one.
Last time was, I left it at home.
It's all right.
But I had, in the last time it was about experience. I sort of saw the sins and senses salon already. Mm-hmm. I wanted to call it Salon de Senses.
Nice.
It was the first one I wanted to call, but my producer, Michael Biehn, was like, I don't know what the hell that is, and blah, blah. We had this argument about a salon, and basically we ended up doing experience. I was like, I want people to experience what a sex salon is about.
Okay.
So we called it experience. And so it was about first times, mm-hmm. and it was about, you know, sort of practicing doing things that you've never done before, and the ins and outs and ups and downs of that, and how that can be really challenging, like we talked about on last week's show, on our threesome show.
Mm-hmm. You had some really great advice in there, actually. Like, when I read that script, it cracked me up, Julie. Mm. I'm really glad you sent it to me. I am. It was really funny. I was howling at work yesterday and just realized how terrible I looked while I'm reading this, while I'm supposed to be at work and looking all professional. Uh-huh. And since
thank you. I'm glad you were laughing. Yeah, it was pretty good. I had lots of good laughs, it's always kind of what I'm after half the time. I like to make people laugh. So.
Well, you know what? For somebody who's not a stand-up comedian, you're very funny, and you wouldn't be on a radio show if you didn't have some humor and make people laugh and make people feel good when they listen to you. Mm. And speaking of that, last week, I wish we had some of this advice that you had in your thing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think I might have been a little bit too close to the topic last week.
Okay.
I think it was something that I had my head buried right into, and it was like it's interesting thing about sexuality. You can know a lot about a lot of it, and then you can be in the middle of it, and it doesn't make any. You can't remember anything. It's like, you know, it's like when you're in a bad accident. You know, you could be a great driver, and then all of a sudden you can't remember the rules of the road when you're like in this accident, and you can't remember that you have to keep your car wheel straight while you hit a gravel patch. You know, like you just kind of forget all the things you learned in school. Mm-hmm. And so, interesting that you brought this thing around communication and negotiation.
You had some really great questions, which I thought were really cool. And we talked about threesomes last week. One of the things we didn't talk about was the negotiations. And you had some really lovely stuff. So while I was sitting there at work reading about threesomes and, well, not threesomes, but first times.
Which some first times,
sometimes
yeah.
Sometimes a threesome can be a first time. Mm-hmm. I'm still a virgin to that one, so there you go.
But there is key questions, definitely.
And what were they?
Yeah, well, the biggest questions, and this is, again, you know, before you do anything for the first time, it's why do I want to do this? Like, what is the purpose of what I'm doing this for? And then who do I want to do this for? Am I doing this thing for my partner, or am I doing it for me? Mm. You know, or am I doing it because everyone thinks it's cool and it's the thing to do, and I should do it too? Like, that's not really a good reason. And then another really important question is, what do I expect from this experience? And although I really educate people on not having a lot of expectations once you begin having a sexual experience, it's really important to set up as much as you can before you do have them, and what your expectations are, and to communicate them so that you can negotiate boundaries, right? But one of the biggest things too is, am I prepared to handle all the aspects of the experience and what might happen after? So those were my four key questions that I had at the last salon. And I kind of brought them back over the first and a bit into the second act, just sort of weaving it into the stories that I was telling and part of the acts, and just sort of having people think about those questions and when they're going to approach something for the first time, why are they doing it, who are they doing it for, what do they expect, and are they prepared to handle everything? Which can sometimes be in the ending of a relationship, you know?
Mm.
Sometimes it can be, like I was saying, you know, you have a threesome and you can never go back from that. You know, the relationship will forever be changed. So, ask these questions, determine what it is you want to experience, and then communicate about it and negotiate fairly what is right for you. So, you know, and I, you're so cute. You put a quote from my salon. Whether you're haggling over the price of a new sex toy, discussing the small details of great oral sex, small details is a very important point there, or trying to borrow your best friend's kink outfit, requesting which piece of lingerie you want your lover to wear, or screaming, "Don't stop, I'm almost there," communicating and negotiating will get you more of what you want in sex. And
it's sounding more like life as well, if you're talking about borrowing your friend's kink thing. Does that mean, if I ask you if I can borrow your vibrator, you'll say yes?
Well, it depends on which one, and if we can clean it and have it be sterile again after, because I don't know what you're going to do with it.
I don't know either, because I don't own one.
Right? So, you know, we're communicating and negotiating is going to get you places in life, right? Being a good communicator and negotiator. We've had lots of shows about that.
We've had fantastic shows about that. You have some fantastic pieces. darling. You had some really great stuff. And one of my favorite ones was the Dan piece.
Oh, my God.
Which I know we just talked about one of the Dans on on Valentine's Day. We're just kind of rehashing that.
Yes,
in
Dan
terms of
four.
Yes, the one that showed up and had a thong on and offered you the roses in. We was kind of gyrating, and I think he was trying to do a male stripper
routine. Box of chocolates in his crotch with a blue G-string. Yes, I'll never forget it. The memory is burned into my cranium.
Of course, mine, it blocked it right out. But I had a really, really wonderful, wonderful piece that all about the Dan addiction.
Well, I said at the beginning of the second act, I go, hello, my name is Julia, and I'm a Danaholic. Yes, I dated 5 Dans in under 12 months. I'm like, can you believe this? It was like, I never met a single Dan in all of my life, seriously. And then in the last 12 months, all Dans, all in a row. Like, it was, I was like, I don't know what was going on here. Is the universe trying to send me a message or something? Like, they got this call out, like, oh my God, I couldn't understand it. I just thought it was so crazy. But, you know, Dan Four did really inspire The Last Salon. And,
you were saying that.
And, you know, he came in a blazing red glory outfit, which he had custom designed. And it was like big red feathers, which kind of banged into everybody because it was a pretty busy little spot. And this shirt that had a black word said an inspiration all the way down the front. And I was kind of, it was so Dan Four. I was like, honey, I'm gonna acknowledge you in the show. You don't have to walk around with the inspiration T-shirt on yourself. Anyway, but this was him. I think I must have made him feel special enough or something. I don't know, but it did make the calling out. I said on the piece, I was like, it did make the calling out during certain sort of peak experiences not so complicated. It was like Dan for Dan. But honestly, I did have all these Dans, but I did only sleep with 2 of the 6.
Darling, you don't
need to
tell.
Ended up being 6 in a row.
6 of them.
Yep. And that was crazy over a whole year. I mean, it was insane. So anyway, but the act, that particular act, and I think I kind of bring it back, you know, sexual power comes from sexual confidence. And mm-hmm. I talk a little bit about this in the salon, but I talk more about body image this time. And I don't know about you guys, I was saying, but I have really limited my sexual expression in my life because of my body image issues. And, you know, in the show, people were like, no way, you body image issues, Julia. You know, I was like, well, it's too much junk in my trunk. You know, I'm worried about the cellulite here, this bump there. And you know, my lover wants to kind of bend me over the kitchen counter in broad daylight. I'm like, no, don't touch it. I don't want them to see this little roll or whatever. And what ends up happening is that I'm limiting my sexual pleasure and my sexual fun, right? And that's no good. And I mean, the man, obviously, or my lover, whomever it might be, obviously is enjoying my body and loves my body and wants to have sex with my body or whatever, me. Mm-hmm. And here I am going, no, don't touch me there, or don't look at me this way, you know. And it's just, it sucked. So all these men over the years have tried to teach me to feel better about my body and definitely tried hard. But I, well, just, you know, you're beautiful, whatever, and you look so great, and you know, or never saying anything negative. Like when I say, do I look fat in this, whatever, they're like, no, honey, you look fabulous, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doing good things, you know, just trying to help me to feel better and not make it worse and things like that. But Dan Four had a different kind of way of teaching me to feel more sexual confidence, and that was that he called it gush gush. He called it, so I did this gush gush demo last year,
and this year
I'm doing a humping demo, so it's a whole different demo this year. Pulling out one of my very best and most secret trade secrets that I have only for my closest lovers.
I'm going to share
it publicly at the salon.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's going to be really good. But he just this good Chris thing, and he's like, he just grabs and he's just like shakes the crap out of your body, and he's got your butt in his hands, and he's just shaking and shaking and shaking, and he's like, oh, I love this. Oh, yeah, I just love this. I love this, you know? And I'm just screaming, and yeah, I'm like, ah, and he's just shaking and shaking and shaking. He's like, no, you don't understand. It's my favorite. And you know, he's just like, I favorite, I love it. He's like, oh, it's good, it's good, you know? And he's just shaking me. Right, and so like I had people come up from the audience, and I'm shaking all their gush gush, and I've got these women, and this huge woman, because they're just fabulous. It was amazing, like this teensy little woman, and this medium sized woman, and this little bigger woman, and like all these women. It was just so cool. Anyway, and he was doing this to me, and I finally got over myself, you know, finally after years of trying. So, you know, he thinks I'm hot, and he obviously didn't mind that my entire body is like wiggling from head to toe, like every bit of my skin and fat is wiggling everywhere in lots of crazy directions. And he loved it. So it was just, it felt great. I mean, it felt really good too. It was a really fun kind of sensuous loving thing to do. So mm-hmm. I taught people at the salon, and this is the kind of thing I teach at my salons, is like, here's something you can try at home. I gave everybody homework, and I gave them the demonstration, and I'm like, go and do it. And of course, it was fun to watch that happening on stage, obviously.
I would love to see the gush gush. You've never done a gush gush demo on me, or force them for me.
I will have to do it for you. I can do it anytime. It's hard to do. Again, we'd need video, but it wouldn't make much sense. You just hear a lot of moaning and groaning and some hot breathing.
And we might lose our show. On that note, did you get any emails after this salon or anything just about people trying the homework and what results they got?
Yeah, actually, I had a real influx of people being really moved by the salon and really touched. And, you know, it was a really beautiful first time, you know, and this year it's so much more polished and so much more what I had initially had visioned for my salon. And so I'm super excited about this year. It's just going to be so much better. The location is better. Yes, the acts are better. The performances are
different.
Really, really cool and really rich and different. And they actually go really well with what I'm talking about. Mm. Whereas before it was kind of like a cabaret-ish mishmash of, you know, me talking and then a really good performance art and then me talking. This time it's kind of like the performances really speak to what I'm lecturing mm-hmm. about, and the intermission is just that much more rich and fun and active, and there's a lot of other stuff going on in the intermission.
I'm really intrigued. Should anybody bring anything for the intermission or anything?
Just make sure you wear red and black and be prepared to have a really good time, I guess, because honestly, there's lots of I can't say anything about what's going to happen at the I can see a little bit. How about after the break we talk a little bit about it?
You're
give me a chance
intriguing
to think
me.
About
Do
it.
Do I have to wait till after the break for this?
Yeah.
Oh, Julie, you're such a tease, you know that?
So, yeah. So, and you were saying the new salon.
The new salon sounds really neat, but one of the things I do want to touch about is the salon touches about self-esteem and indulging in all the senses, doesn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the sort of end of the first and beginning, or a lot of the second act, yeah.
Okay.
But we're going to talk more about this year's salon after the break. Give me a chance to think about the little nuggets I want to give people and not give away too much.
I may have to tickle you until you pee.
It is going to be good. I was reviewing a bit of it this morning and writing in some new and fancy bits, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be good. So, right. We're in Liz. You're doing the engineering.
I'm
supposed to be talking. You're listening. I'm just the person.
No,
who
baby,
stops
you're the. You can chill.
Now.
So you guys keep this dialogue.
You're listening to CITR Radio. It's okay. I can do it. 101.9 FM in the Lotus Land of Vancouver. Do keep the dialogue. You're listening to Juicebox. And tonight we're going to be playing. What is it? The Return of the Giant Slits. I did the syllable really well. This is a 1981 album. We're doing a dub mix this time, and it's called Dub Beat, and that is from Return of the Giant Slits. And we welcome your calls during this time especially, so please call in at 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR, and we'll be back after this.
Hi guys, my name is Hafsa and I'm the Public Relations Officer for the International Relations Students Association, also known as IRSA. We have a mandate to provide students from a variety of disciplines with a forum for the discussion of international issues in a casual environment. Our discussions reflect upon all areas of international interest. In addition, a host of other activities, such as diplomatic simulations, academic publications, and conferences such as UBCM-UN, make IRSA the most active student group on campus and one of the most recognized throughout Canada. If you would like to join the club or get in touch for more information, please call 604-822-1604 or visit our website at irsa.ca.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us now, you've landed in Juice Box Radio, but hopefully you're with us before the break, so you know all about sex and all about the wonderful things that we are talking about today. But first, we are going to go into our juice berries, and Julia's just shaking her head going, oh my God, I can't believe I'm letting Caroline completely host this show tonight. Anyway, the Becoming Burlesque graduation, they've turned the girls next door into so much more. That's going to be the ANZA Club next
nice.
Wednesday before our show.
All right.
More information at info@screamingchicken.net.
Maybe we can make it to that on time before we race out here. You've got beauty night
I've got
time.
Beauty night beforehand. I'm doing my charity thing, which has been one of those wonderful things that I like to do. And speaking of that, be there or be square for the Bowie Glam Ball. It's a spin-off of the Love Grace Affair. DJ Darren and Chris Strebley are going to be spinning. There's going to be a fashion show by Nancy Black, complete with burlesque, luscious dance, brunette blonde, and diamond minx. You could get a crazy faux hawk from the hair and makeup volunteers from Blanche McDonald's, and partial proceeds are going to go to Beauty Night Society. So this is going to be this Thursday coming up. That's March 27th.
That's not this Thursday.
Oh,
that's 2 weeks from
you're
now.
You're right. I am losing it. I'm going to have to chop off my head because
it's
really
not even next Thursday. It's the Thursday after.
You're right.
It's 3 weeks
it's the
from
Thursday
now.
After. No.
Well, two. Anyway, what's it to do with sex is what I'm asking earlier.
Because it's David Bowie, and David Bowie is an androgynous.
And people want to fuck him,
said. People want to fuck him and Iman, or they kind of look like each other in their own strange weird way. So it's one of those things. But of course, there's lots of wonderful, exciting things going around in town.
There's also a hair study. There's a hair study going on, and I have the hair study researchers from Children and Women's, I think, are going to come on the show, and they've just been released with information to be able to come and talk about this hair study they're doing, which I thought was so interesting.
What kind of hair study?
Pubic hair. So how women trim, remove, or feel about their pubic hair and why they do it.
Oh, I think
and
that'd be great.
I think it's a very interesting study. Now, interestingly enough, on my side, another one of my side jobs that I do, I'm walking around Children and Women's Hospital, and I see these flyers for, you know, do you like hair? These little bikinis all up in there, or, you know, whatever, unwanted hair, blah, blah, blah. And I thought it was an ad for waxing, so I just, like, looked at it, and I said they're doing a study on hair removal and women's attitudes. So I took off a tip, and then, like, you know, a little piece of paper, and I went to do it, and like within a week, all the little tabs had been torn off. And I thought, oh, like all over the hospital, like all the little tabs have been torn off. So I thought, wow, this is a really interesting study. So I did this study. I thought it was very well done. And I emailed the people and said, hey, cool study. I want to know about the results. And if you want to know, if you want me to say something about it on UBC, you know, CITR, I'll tell you, be on my show, talk about it, call in. So they said they would, and they're going to come on next week. So we're going to hear about the hair study next week. I just don't have the information for me because I asked her for it and she didn't get back to me in time.
That's
today.
Okay.
For the exact right link and all that business, because I threw the thing away and I have no idea where, you know, I just logged on to what the piece of paper said.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually have the information and I couldn't find it. So just so you know, you can probably Google hair study, whatever, and find out why you do your pubic hair and how often. So they're going to talk a little bit about the results as well that they're getting. So this is going to be kind of cool. So that's going to be next week.
I think that's going to be a really interesting show. And speaking of hair, I don't know why this made me think of it.
It's not going to be a whole show on hair, but it's going to be about pubic hair and women's attitudes and why we remove it and how much we remove it and how long and when did we start and all this business.
No, I think it's good. I was going to say, right at the break, we were listening to Return of the Giant Slits.
I can hardly hear you, honey. I'm not
Return
sure.
Return of the Giant
Thank
Slits.
Thank you. I'm watching,
is that better?
Watching this and it's not
coming
up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I did say the slits. And they're a very, very cute little band that
and
started in 81 and now they released some mixes.
Yes.
In 2007.
That's
the
right.
The Giant Slits. Okay.
I love the name.
I do too.
It's quite lovely.
We're slit lovers. Okay, so.
For those of you who are joining us right now, we've got Julia on, who's our lovely host, but who's also today the guest. And we're talking about
so
her juice
weird.
Box one. I know it's strange.
Okay.
You feel weird sitting in the guest's chair, don't you?
Thank you.
Do you feel like you're being electrocuted, Julia?
I know, but we're chatting about sex ed and entertainment, which is what you can see this coming Saturday at the Juice Box Salon, which is going to be so great. And actually, my costumer, Flaming Angels Designs, hooked me up with a couple costumes that are actually pretty darned cool. So
can I borrow them?
I don't know. You'd have to ask her. But since we're talking about Flaming Angels Designs, they're opening up a little studio. So I told them that I'd mention this. They're opening up a thing downtown on April 24th. And if you want to get on their you know, guest list for opening, you can just get in touch with Miriam of Flaming Angels Designs and or come to the salon and get a little special ticket thingy that will get you in and give you a percentage off of her new designs. Anyway, so
should I be asking, why do I want to borrow your costume?
Why
and
would you want to borrow my costume?
Who do I want to wear this for?
Yeah.
And what do I want from this experience? Should
that's
I be
right.
doing this?
That's
I'm
right.
using your advice from
yes,
the first half of the show,
right.
which is all about communication, negotiation. So did that work?
So
are you going to let me borrow?
That was great. Well, I haven't get to answer any of those questions for you, but they all seem like interesting questions, ones that should be addressed if you're going to be borrowing something such and precious thing to me, but it's not actually mine, so I can't really lend it.
Oh, that's
Let's get
true.
Back to the dildo conversation.
Oh, a dildo
no,
conversation. I thought we were flirting with each other,
okay.
which I think you might have some tips on flirting and seduction from your last salon.
Yeah, the last salon experience, it was called. I did do some seduction and flirting tips in the second half after the Gush Gush demo, and it was really quite funny.
Can you do the Gush Gush demo one more time?
No. People can listen to the podcast again if they want
it
to.
It was
later.
Quite lovely.
Yes, we're just shake it
I think
and
you
just
have
love that and just let it go and it just,
can you grunt more?
No. Too hard. I'm not an actor.
It doesn't matter if you're an actor or not. I'm finding it
not
very entertaining.
An actor. Anyway, I wish I was because sometimes I just want to wish I was so I could be a good actor. That makes you a good liar, I think, if you're a good
I
actor.
I disagree. You have to believe in the truth.
Little Miss Actress. I mean actor, tell me how it does not.
Because you have to believe whatever you think in your head is to be the truth will actually show up on what?
Speak into the mic because I can't. I'm losing you on the thing there.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't sound good. Okay. Well, tips about flirting. So in this salon, in this year's salon, there's going to be a lot of other tips, but they're going to be a bit more rich and diverse, I can tell you. But last year, I thought they were very funny. They were good. They worked. And there's kind of... how did you describe them? You're so
well,
cute.
You know what? We've done a lot of flirting. I've written about flirting a lot. We've done shows on it. And Julius, I can honestly say, darling, you are a goddess in the art of flirting.
Thank you.
Seriously, you and I, and people can listen to the podcast if they want to verify this, we have raced neck and neck during our speed dating sessions. And believe me, we've had two of them, which one that you subjected me to where I wanted to leave, and the other that you're a good sport. You're better than me. But I have to say, these tips do serve most people, and I think they served us quite well considering we hit the top in each category that we went into.
Yeah, so, well, you know, people ask me all the time, and women come up to me and they say, oh, I have a date and so, and guys, same thing. So in the salon last year, we had Daniel Packard coming and talking about women around how to pick up men and why we need to be more assertive. And he's going to be coming again this year doing a 10-minute piece, I'm sure, on something similar, but he's so hilarious. It's just like the 10 minutes goes by like in 2 seconds and you're like, no, keep going. So he usually makes you pay $50 to get in the door. So, you know, he's...
So you're getting a deal, in
you're getting words. A very good deal going on the salon. So basically, single or otherwise, flirting and seduction, I think it's important too, because some of my friends are like, they've been married for a long time. They're like, you know, my husband, he just doesn't even seduce me anymore. He just basically grabs my tit and then, you know, he's like, hey, baby, want to get some business? You know, like, it's kind of like, you know, that's not really sexy, honey. You know, so these are seduction tips for the people in relationships as well. So basically, be prepared physically and emotionally. So like, have your sign out, make an effort to feel like you look good. So look good.
Like doing things like wearing your sexy underwear underneath so you walk a little different.
Yeah, like make sure you look good. Look good, feel better, and be prepared. Have your sign out. Like have your...
When you say have your sign out, what do you mean by that? Do you mean like having good open body language, for example, nice tone of voice,
exactly,
that sort of thing, which probably leads into the next tip?
Well, eye contact, obviously, and looking around the room, not just looking down or looking at your friend or like, you know, not making eye contact with a lot of people do. If you want to flirt, you've got to look people in the eye and smile. You know?
So in other words, no wallflower.
Yeah. So, and I think when you want to flirt, you make immediate and direct eye contact. And this isn't in every culture, but in North American culture, for most cases, even if you make immediate direct eye contact and then look away really fast, is also a good sort of flirtation tip.
Yeah, like looking up through the eyelashes.
And then kind of looking away is that kind of coyness. I think it tends to work. It's actually in human psychology of sexuality. They talk about these particular eye movements that animals, humans do. It works across cultures. So it's kind of that coy thing that women do and men do it as well. And it works very well. Repeating their name. Now, you don't want to sound like a salesperson, but, you know, like repeating a person's name, there's nothing more beautiful to a person's ear than hearing their name. So if you say it sincerely, not more beautiful, but if you say it sincerely and they're like, it's lovely to meet you, Caroline. And, you know, they're not just like, nice to meet you. They're like, you know, they say your name and they say it in kind of a seductive way. I think it's really effective.
No, that makes sense.
While they look in your eye and not squeeze your hand too hard.
And breathe.
And then thinking, say, I like to be kissed like this and show you. That's later.
If their name's Dan, it makes it easier.
Yes, the Danaholic in me. Well, I also think one of the things that I do often and always is just to be friendly. And I'm a friendly person, and sometimes people think I'm flirting with them and I want to have a date with them, but honestly, sometimes it's just me being friendly. And I kind of, you know, I have this confident body language, so I stick my breasts out.
You have beautiful breasts,
and
by
I think
the way.
That people, thank you, I think that people respond to that. They're kind of like, oh, you know, and they try not to look down, but their peripheral vision, they can see what they're doing, and they're like, hi, you know. So these are all very flirty and seductive things, and it works quite well.
Using flattery. Do you mean sincere flattery?
Of course. You find something about them that you like, that you think that you like. Like, I love your green bra. It is so sexy. And of
Thank
course,
you.
It's,
Do you
it's Kelly Green, and it's really beautiful, and it looks really nice on your beautiful breasts, Caroline.
Thank you.
So, you know, and I wouldn't maybe say that part, although if we were at one of those kind of parties, maybe I would, but, you know, like you say things like whatever you think about the person that you really like. So if their skin is glowing for you and you really like their skin, or if they're, you know, I mean, lips. If you mention lips, that's a bit of a, that's a really sensual thing to talk about. So you want to use that one carefully when it comes, like you don't want to just come up to somebody new and go, wow, I love your lips. Like, blah, blah, blah. That's like, if you want to kiss somebody, then you might say something like that. But you're not ready to kiss them when you first meet them. So that's a seduction thing to do, is just to say something about their lips, you know, and then it makes you or they want to kiss you.
And you may want to make sure that you enunciate properly so they don't think they say, I love your tits.
Yeah. And, you know, or like your hair is so beautifully shiny tonight, you know, like you just pick something that you notice that you think is for real, that you believe, and then you say it. Then you don't have to be an actor because you believe what you're saying, right? Yeah, so flattery works wonders. And I don't use it just emptily. I use it in a way that really means something. And I love looking at the beauty in people. And I notice the beauty in people, and so I'll say something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say about the lips is just being careful, too, in case they are collagen lips, which I suppose would be
I think that they'd even like it better if you mentioned their lips, because if they're collagen, they obviously went to a lot of trouble and expense, and they've got issues around their self-esteem around their lips. So if you mention them, maybe you're feeding into their self-esteem issues. But
that's true.
Yeah.
Playing with a piece of clothing, dangling mm-hmm. your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
These types of things.
Stirring your drink, playing with your hair. Don't do it obsessively or weirdly. People do that sometimes. That doesn't work. Don't put it in your mouth. I think putting your hair in your mouth is really
unhygienic.
Well, it's like a child. You're just like a kid, you know, and can't control themselves.
And
trying
you don't.
To, like, suck your thumb, but you're not allowed to, so you start sucking on your hair.
But wouldn't that be a phallic thing? Because sucking the thumb is like sucking a penis, a cock. A lingam.
Lingam. Well, I don't know what I can say about children sucking their thumbs and then putting it to a cock story, but I just think we'll leave that one right
taken. I'll just get my foot out of
the... So wear the... Like, I did put on the... On last Shit. Year's salon, I put wear, bring, or carry something unusual. And that was for people to have conversations about. And it was also part of the fun of what I was doing with my show. So I was just trying to be funny. And I had something with me that was very unusual.
Interesting.
And I had it... Actually, I can share with you guys. It's what Marilyn, not Marilyn Monroe, good Lord. It's what is our, who did
who?
The fuck uterus birthday party?
Oh, Malika
Million. Malika Million. She calls them chicken cutlets, the little tit enhancers like you put in the bra, like the big floppy silicone piece. She calls them chicken cutlets. I had one of those and I like whipped it out of my bra, which was to bring, wear, or carry something unusual to like... Anyway, it was just
to talk about.
It was for fun at the salon. It was part of the funny part.
Whispering.
Yeah, that was so good.
How are you?
Daniel Packard and I had fun with that one.
What did you do?
I'm not going to tell you because he might do it with me again this salon.
Did you whisper sweet nothings in each other's ears?
We did whisper. Whispering is good because it makes people lean in to you. And so it is seductive and it is a really good way to flirt. And it makes people come a little closer to you.
Hmm.
And so then you might want to say something to them. Obviously, you don't do it too much where people feel discluded and things. But but yeah, it can be seductive. And it's
and it
I think it's
powerful.
One of the flirty, powerful things that I do. Yeah. And one that I don't do enough of, but that I'm a big advocate of, is leaving them wanting more.
Huh.
That's a really important flirting and seduction tip, which I need to take myself.
That's one I do a lot.
Yeah. So do something, or as in the words of my good friend, Delilah, do something excellent and then retreat.
I like that.
She was amazing that way. She's like, do something excellent and then retreat. So she's listening tonight. Delilah, I love you. You're freaking brilliant. So yeah, that's more my style. I do something excellent and then retreat. I kind of do that.
I like
or something
that.
Shocking or something memorable. Or
and how
something.
Did you find how did you find these tips worked when we did the speed dating?
I just do all these things naturally. I don't even think about them anymore.
So was it difficult to write them down?
Write down the things about the people I'm trying to remember in the speed dating?
No.
What do you mean?
Writing down all the tips, like, because they come naturally. Like, oh. Was it harder to think about it? Because
yeah, like when I had to think about these, I was like, oh my God, well, what do I do? What do I recommend to people? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I'm unlike you. I'm not a relationship, like, I'm not a dating expert. I wish I was, or I'd be probably married by now.
I don't know. I'm not married and I don't date. So I just tell people what to do.
We're both really good at doing that, aren't
we're
we?
Like psychiatrists, which oh apparently God. Sometimes they're very screwed up, some of them.
Yes, well, we mostly go into school because we're interested in things. Why did I become a sex educator? Good question. We'll leave that for another show. So people, you did ask me what people can bring to prepare for the show. And I do want to say, Caroline, that I forgot to mention, if you want to bring a sketchbook, that would be a good thing. Because there's going to be some incredible visuals for you to take of real people to sketch. And on the intermission, one of the many things we're doing is we're doing live nude models that are going to be sketchable. And we're going to have an art teacher there teaching you how to do nude drawing. And that's just one aspect of the salon intermission, the intercourse.
I mean, intercourse.
Extended intercourse. I mean, intermission.
Is that a Freudian slip? So, I can't help but tease you, darling.
Yeah, so that's a really important thing if you want to bring a sketchbook. We do give out 10 sketchbooks to the first eager artists, students. But if you want to bring one yourself and do some sketching, it can be fun.
Are people allowed to bring digital cameras since you've got nudes there?
Yeah, the nude models are all okay with that, and cameras are fine. There's going to be some video camera going on as well, and some big cameras there as well, some people that are taking shots. But as far as the audience participants go, no. I mean, it's, you know, if you don't want your picture taken, you can just put your hand up like you're in the paparazzi or whatever. But there's nothing that racy going on where you have to be like, oh, I don't want to be associated with this. As part of the thing that I'm producing with the Juice Box Salon is that it's a sophisticated, sensuous, grown-up night of entertainment and sex ed woven in. And it's not something to be ashamed of or that you don't want that your parents to know that you're at. There's important lessons in there for everybody. Doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're 14 or 74. We have people, we have a BDSM practitioner guy coming who's 64 and he's incredible. And he's coming to do a little thing.
Little what?
Never mind. A little special something.
You're intriguing me, Miss Julia.
Yeah, there's other live demos, and we're in getting all five senses engaged. And although there's more than five senses, I'm going to be talking about other senses as well. There's actually 21.
Really?
So we're going to be to the people that study senses. And so we're going to be talking about some of the other ones that people don't necessarily think about and how that applies to your sexuality, how you can actually increase your sexual pleasure and your sexual abilities by using other senses that you don't necessarily use.
And of course, you're intriguing me in terms of that,
mm-hmm.
which of course I want to ask you, and you know, and I know you're not going to reveal, are you?
No, because you have to come and spend your good money on an amazing evening and support Juice Box Radio.
Well, this Juice
and
Box
Juice,
Girl.
Juice Box Girls, who have been doing this show for free forever and want to actually make $10 an hour for a change, which is all I'll be making, even if I sell out.
Girl will be there in the audience.
Thank
and
you,
supporting you, my love. But one other thing that I think might be kind of nice for those of you who like to dress up as schoolgirls and school gents, if you're wearing red and black, make sure you bring your notebook as well, not just to sketch, but as well to take some notes, because Ms. Julia has lots of wonderful things to say.
Yeah,
and
notebooks.
Lots of things. And
there'll be some good points you might want to take down, or just try to involve them in your head somehow.
Yeah, or you could write nasty, nasty, saucy notes to somebody that you want to
have intermission with. Because I do give some tantric exercises for you to practice with whomever you bring, or there'll be many, many single people there as well, because I just know that there's at least 25 out of the 50 tickets that have been sold. Please buy more. Tickets, please. I need to sell out.
I think there'll be more because, I mean, you've been starting to get some radio coverage.
Yeah, and I had an article in the Courier today, the Vancouver Courier, the East or West Side one, which I was misquoted in, and it's not the greatest article ever. So I kind of am keeping it a little bit on the down low, but I was going to use it all over the email today and be like, I got this Courier article, blah, blah. So I'm kind of a bit like, shh. On that one, but I have been getting some press, so it might get me some ticket sales. Who knows? Hopefully.
And I mean, hey, we had to turn down another radio show tonight because we were here.
Yeah, that's true. We got asked to be on Siobhan's show on Co-op Radio. What was that on? Some cabaret show?
Their cabaret show, because they want to interview myself about Beauty Night, and they want to interview you and plug your show for next week. So it was kind of neat where perhaps at some point we'll do a cross-radio show where we'll interview them at the same time.
Who's calling? That was an imaginary flash. Okay.
It was the ghost.
That some person that really loves us is calling to say, I'm coming to the salon. I haven't got my ticket and I will.
It was somebody who wants to see your Gush Gush
demo. All yes.
Gush Gush.
Uh-huh. I'm going to remind people of the Gush Gush demo. There's going to be some participants that haven't been there for the last one. So
can
we'll
you do
some
one more
highlights.
Time?
No, you can listen
one
to
more
the podcast
time.
Or you can come to the salon on Saturday night. All right. So let's wrap it up, girlfriend.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. Yeah. And I hope to see you on Saturday night. Uh-huh. Where's the show again, Ms. Julia?
It's at the Academy Duello on Richard Street. And you have to come and go upstairs. There's no fancy front door. It's like kind of one of those underground secret-y things.
Where is that?
Like around? 422, I think, Richard Street. Academy Duello.
What's
the address? Street? It's Richards and Pender.
Okay.
And it's right up the street from the Century where the last year's was, but it's just up a few doors and on the same side as the Century restaurant place.
And where can people get tickets?
On juiceboxsalon.com, which is through Brown Paper Tickets, which is really fab. But if you have problems with online tickets, just give me an email at julia@juiceboxradio.com and send me an email and let me know, and I can you can just drop money off at my house in East Vancouver and I can put your name on the list. But you have to pay in advance because we're not allowed to sell tickets at the door at all. There's like a issue with that. So with the whatever. So, you know, laws, rules, regulations. It is a real space. It's not an underground, you know. It's like we had to pay for license and it's upscale stuff, so, you know, it all costs lots of money, which is why the price is high. Not high. It's actually super reasonable, but it's just $10 higher than it was last year, and I think people are kind of balking a little bit at that. But we've got so much more going on with the show this year, and it's going to be so incredible, and I really hope that you come, whoever you're listening.
I think a lot of people will be coming, and I hope you enjoyed this show tonight, everybody. And
thanks,
Julia,
for listening.
Thank you so much for talking about your salon and sharing lots of tidbits with us. Mm. And so if listeners, if you're interested, give us any recommendations for show topics, or if you've got any questions, or if you want to bug Ms. Julia about what the show is all about, I think you should just come. Come and come. And next week, as she was mentioning earlier, we're going to be talking about hair.
We're going to be talking about a lot more than pubic hair. Pubic hair. You've got the pretty little pubic hair. We're going to be talking about a lot.
I'm going to wash that man right out
of
my hair.
Maybe we'll talk about body image and things like that, because I just found out from my sister that she's having yet another surgery done to her, and it really breaks my heart. So, we might be talking about this genital surgery stuff. Not that she's doing that. She's getting facial surgery. But, okay, God.
I think we got a caller.
Just press that thing on air. On air. Uh-huh. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
So, what happened to Kitty Hello? Hello?
Oh, I think we can hear you. Can you be a little bit louder?
I can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. What happened to Kitty Pardue? Is she ever going to be on the show again?
Kitty? Are you kidding me?
Wow. Why not?
Wow, that's from how many years ago? Two and some years ago.
I can hardly hear you.
Hi.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, okay, there.
Hi, Hugh. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good, sweetie. Kitty, no, I haven't heard from her in a long time. I have no idea what she's doing, and I think last I heard she's in Ottawa.
Oh, I see. She left town.
She did leave town quite a few, like a year and a half ago. So
two years ago. Well, okay.
Yeah. But thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hope we see you Saturday.
Okay, let the Hans Claus get on the air, okay? Good night, everybody.
Good
thanks
night,
for listening.
Everyone. Thank you.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to get into it. You're gonna
have to.